Thank you so much for having me today. I've been so warmly welcomed. This is a really, really great church. And I was just feeling throughout the worship that God wants to do something in hearts tonight, some restoring of maybe where you've stepped out and shared faith and if it hasn't gone well. He wants to restore that. He wants to take away fear. And it's cool just hearing, even in the worship, come and bring your fears to God and he can take them away. Because my whole talk is about my journey this year, about being freed from fear. So it's cool that God is doing something. I know that he wants to move this evening. So yeah, a little bit about me. So I'm Catherine. I became a Christian not too long ago while I was at drama school. I now work for Fusion, which is a student mission organization. So we connect local churches to universities and help equip students and student workers to share their faith. Bring their friends to know Jesus. That's what we want to see. I gave my life to this because God used students to save my life. I'm here today because a student was bold enough to walk across the room and say, hey, want to try church? Hey, where's your life going? Do you know what's going to happen when you die? You want to know Jesus? And then persevered through that when I said no. And I became a Christian. So it's Harvest Sunday. And these are two passages that speak directly into that. So if you've got a Bible, turn to John 4, 35. And it says, do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. The fields are white for harvest. And then in Luke 10, it says, and then he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. You are the answer to that prayer. You are the workers. If you would call yourself a Christian here tonight, God wants to use you to share your faith. He wants to use you to harvest that field. And at Fusion, we are seeing this. We're seeing a generation that is more open than any generation that has ever gone before them. We have a campaign called Try Church, which is basically a campaign. We go to freshers' fairs and we invite students to try church for the first time or the 100th time. We say, do you just want to give it a go? Why not? And I think going into it, we were probably expecting a little bit of resistance and maybe, oh no, not really. But every freshers' fair we've gone to, students have just been like, yeah. Why not? No one's asked me before. Might as well give it a go. Might as well. I was at Kent Uni a few weeks ago, and this verse was ringing through my mind, and I was thinking about this preach. And I was like, wow, Lord, the harvest is really ripe, and the workers really are few. I mean, there were three of us on stand, and there's all these students, and all of them are just wanting to chat. And I'm in one conversation with someone. I can see my two colleagues are chatting to people over here, and there's hundreds of students just passing by. I'm like, oh, there's just not enough of us. We were there for 4 hours, and we signed up 96 students to try church. 96. 96. And with each of those 96, I would say the majority of them, there was a deep conversation where we shared the gospel with them too. And they were open and they were ready to hear it. We didn't get any resistance. They're ready. They want to hear. We just have to be willing to go and to tell them. We have to be willing. God wants to use us. It was really cool. The stand opposite us was actually a Tinder stand, which is a dating app, for those of you that don't know. And the guy that was working on it, he kept coming over to see what we were doing. He's like, I'm inviting students to try Tinder. What, you're inviting them to try church? Like, this is really weird that we're like opposite each other. Like, that's really weird. And I was like, yes, it's funny how God does that, you know. And I got chatting to him and I said, so, you know, do you work for Tinder? He's like, yeah. I was like, how long? He's like, well, since I graduated uni. I was like, well, how's that going? He's like, yeah, actually, it was fun when I first started, but now I just feel empty. And I'm like, what? Wow, you're telling me this? Oh, yeah, it's because I'm by the church thing. Oh, yeah, obviously, because you know that I bring life. Like, we're bringing a message of life. You know that because I've told you I'm a Christian. You know there's something more. And you want me to tell you about it, right? So I said, oh, have you ever tried church? And he said, well, I tried to see you in my first year of uni, but it wasn't really for me. But no, I've never really been invited to church. And I was like, mate, this is your invite. Go try church. I'm like, where do you live? He's like, Liverpool. I'm like, great. Here's the app. Sign up. You can find a church in Liverpool. These are student workers that I know. Go and try their church. He's like, yeah, why not? I'm like, he's never been invited. He's never been invited. He was waiting for an invite to try church. He feels empty. We hold that invite. We have to invite. We have to invite. We have to invite. So, like I said in the beginning, I feel like there's a commissioning and a restoration that's going to happen tonight, where God's going to take some fear away and send you out to work for him, to be those workers, to walk into being the answer to that prayer of sharing the good news. So I'm just going to share this journey of this last year of my life and sort of what God has done in it to encourage you. So I pray every year in the new year, and I ask Jesus, I'm like, what do you have to say about this year of my life? What's sort of the word that you speak over this year? And God's great, and he wants to be intimately involved in our lives like that, and he wants to give you things. He wants to tell you things about that year. And so I felt from him that he said, Catherine, this year is a year of boldness for you. It's a year of walking through fear to find more freedom and life in me. And you're going to need to make active decisions to find that boldness, to find that freedom from fear. And because the reality is, for the majority of my life, and especially before I was a Christian, I was held by loads of fears. I was scared of my future. I was scared of death. I was scared of deep water, of aeroplanes, of becoming an alcoholic. I was scared of many, many, many things. And when I became a Christian, Jesus instantly and miraculously freed me from a lot of those fears. But he didn't take away all my fears. There were a few left over that I needed to make active steps to step into, so then I could find freedom from them with him. And one of those fears that I knew I had to overcome this year was my crippling fear of roller coasters. So it wasn't just a little fear of roller coasters. Just the thought of going on roller coasters would make me feel like I was going to throw up. I would get all sweaty and my heart would start to pound really fast. I just really hated roller coasters. And I was thinking about this fear. I was like, why do I hate roller coasters so much? Because I love adrenaline. I love adventure. What is this about roller coasters? I know I'm not scared of dying on one, because death is one of the fears that Jesus instantly took away when I became a Christian. He instantly took that one away. So if I'm not scared of dying on them, why am I so scared? And the more I looked into this fear, the more I prayed about it, I realized that I was scared of roller coasters because I'm scared of the unknown. I'm scared of not being in control. And I don't really trust God with my life. So I knew I had to overcome it. And I have friends that really enjoy making me uncomfortable. So they were like, great, let's go to Thorpe Park tomorrow. It's like, great. So we went to Thorpe Park, and I'm queuing for this first ride, and I'm getting so frustrated with God. I'm like, God, I thought that you would just take my fear away, like, before I got here. Isn't that what you do? Like, you ask me to do the thing, then you equip me to do it, and then it's easy, and I just step into it, and I do it. Like, that's kind of how this thing works, isn't it? But I feel just as scared as I've always felt. Like, don't really know what's going on here. I'm like, you know what, guys? I actually don't think God wants me to go on the roller coaster. I think I've made a mistake. I think I've heard him wrong. So I'm actually going to go home. So, yeah, see you later. And my friends were like, yeah, no, that's definitely not happening. Like, we will literally force you onto this ride, so you can either choose to or not. And I was like, okay, right. I do have really forceful friends, so I better get on this ride. And I took one shaky step after another, and I sat down, and I pulled the seat restraint down, and right before the ride left, I shouted out to the ride attendant. I was like, wait, can you check this seatbelt? Like, I'm not sure I've done it right. Like, I'm not sure I'm ready. Like, can you just check that this is all okay? And they glanced at my seatbelt, like, just like this. They're like, you're so fine. Like, it's fine. All right, go. And then I was catapulted round loops and over all the, you know, whatever roller coasters do, round, upside down, all of that. And I hyperventilated. I wasn't freed from my fear. I hyperventilated, but I did it. I went on it. I went on it. And how often do we treat God like I treated the ride attendant? Like, wait, God. No, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to share my faith. Like, I'm not ready to tell people about you. I haven't read the whole Bible. I don't know all the answers to all the questions. I don't have my life together. I'm not ready. And God, he looks at us. Not glances. He really looks at us with eyes full of love. And he says, you are so fine. All right, go. And we're catapulted into life, and it's terrifying, and it's awkward. And with each new friendship and conversation and job and stranger on the street, a new wave of fear and nerves comes. But every time we take a step to step through fear, the more we feel fear leave, the more I made an active decision. With every ride I got on, the less scared I felt, and that is the same we're sharing our faith. Let's just turn to Matthew 4 and look at how Jesus calls us and how he wants to free us as well from that fear. So Matthew 4. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. So Jesus, he's walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And across the water, he spots these brothers. And he watches them, and they're doing what they've done for their entire lives. Casting their nets down into the water and pulling them up, hopefully full of fish. Doing the only thing that they've ever known. And yet still, he calls out to them. He calls out to them and says, hey you, yeah, over there. You know that thing that you thought was your identity? You know that thing that you thought you would do for your entire lives? Stop what you're doing. Stop it immediately and drop your nets and follow me. Jesus' call to them was a call to reorient their lives around him, to live for something more than fishing. To live for something more than fishing. And immediately, the brothers dropped their nets. The disciples dropped their nets. They made their way to the shore to follow Jesus. They stepped out the boat on the promise that the adventure that Jesus was calling them into was better than the life they thought that they were going to live. They stepped out their boat on the promise that they would become men that would not fish, but would fish men out of the sea of hopelessness and into the kingdom of God. And Jesus' call to us every day is the same as well. He wants you to reorient your lives around him and fish people out of the sea of hopelessness and into his love and into his life. He wants to use you. And I think it would be silly to think that this was easy for the disciples, that they were just like, oh, leave my life behind. Woo, why not? Nothing better to do. Of course it was hard. Of course it was challenging. Of course they were scared, but they didn't let the fear stop them. They didn't expect Jesus to come and take their fear away before they went to the shore and stepped out the boat. They were like, no, I feel scared, but I'm going to go anyway because I know that you're better, Jesus. And we have to do that too. We have to do that too. When I got to Thorpe Park, I really didn't feel like going on the roller coaster. Actually, everything in my body, physically, emotionally, spiritually, cried, don't do it. Like, don't do it. Go home, you idiot. Like, what are you doing here? Don't do it. Don't do it. I had to make a choice to not be held by that fear, to step through it, to find more freedom and more life in Jesus so that I wasn't held by a crippling fear of the unknown. You have to step through your fears to find freedom. And now I know that you won't have a day where one morning you wake up and you're like, ah, today's the day. Like, I feel ready to share my faith. Like, I feel ready to tell people about Jesus. I feel bold enough, like, this is my boldness now. And I know that this won't just randomly appear out of nowhere, because Galatians 5 tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. And Galatians, it says in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are the things that are promised to us, that the Spirit can just give us, that he will grow in us. And as we walk with Jesus, we discover more of, and they grow in us. And I was really, really disappointed when Jesus told me that this was my year of boldness, that boldness wasn't one of these fruit of the Spirit. So I was like, oh, I was just going to spend my year praying. Lord, come and fill me with boldness. Like, come and make me more bold. You've promised you're going to do it. So make me bold. Take my fear away. And Jesus is like, oh, Catherine, I love you. But it's actually on you as well. Like, you have to make a choice to be bold. If you want to be bold, if you want to step into what I'm calling you to, you have to be obedient. And you have to make an active decisions every day to not be held back by your fear and to step into that boldness that I've told you is promised for you. And that's what Jesus wants you to do as well. Because if we look back at Matthew 4, I think it's really important to notice how Jesus calls the disciples. The story doesn't go like this. Jesus noticed the disciples across the water. He swims out to the boat. He tips it over with supernatural strength. He whips out some handcuffs, puts them on the disciples, and forces them back to the shore, saying, now you must follow me. Now you're with me for the rest of your lives. You have to do everything I tell you. No, Jesus calls to them. He gives them a choice. He says, come and follow me. It's your choice. It's your decision. Come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And he does this so that the brothers can learn how to invite people into his kingdom, not to force or coerce people into the gospel, but to just invite them into the fullness of life. And this is freeing for us because it means that we're not having to give good answers. We're not having to know everything. We don't have to have it all together because we're just inviting people. We're just inviting people, come along. Do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to come to church? Why not? Come and give it a go. It changed my life. It can change yours too. And we all agree and we say yes. And we're like, I want to do this. If you're a Christian, I'm sure you've heard many sermons on why we should tell people about Jesus and how to do it and why we do it. And I think Jesus would actually just want to, remind us today that inviting people isn't a burden. It's an adventure. He has called us to do it, but he's not forcing us to do it. We don't have to do it. We don't have to share our faith, but we get to share our faith. We get to do it. And if you want to live the fullness of life with Jesus, discovering more of him every single day, loving him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, you have to give it a go. And yes, you will bottle it. And yes, it will go wrong. And yes, people will say no and they won't be interested. But you have to keep inviting. I got shared the gospel 7 years. I heard the good news 7 years before I gave my life to Jesus. I got invited to church. All throughout school, I was surrounded by missionary kids. It's just amazing God stories in my life. I was surrounded by missionary kids who would invite me to youth groups, to church. I'd say, no, I don't want any of that. Went to one, I was like, this is boring. I don't want any of it. This isn't my life. I'd rather go to parties or whatever. I don't want to be part of that. It wasn't until in my second year of drama school, one of my friends suddenly died. They suddenly died. And before they died, they saw a vision of heaven. And so when I called up his mum to say, I'm so sorry, like, I wish I could have done something for Stefan. I can't believe that he's died. And the response that I got from Stefan's mum was, Catherine, I know where Stefan is. Before he died, he saw heaven. He'd want you to look into that. He'd want you to search that. And I got really serious about figuring out whether this Jesus stuff was real. And I started looking into it. I even went to the back of mega churches and would stand there. No one would talk to me. And I'd just listen and sort of be a part of it, but not a part of it, would walk out. And it wasn't until I was in a hip-hop class, randomly, and this girl, she walked up to me. I'd never spoken to her before. To be honest, I found her quite annoying because she was really smiley, and I was like, life isn't that good. Life isn't that good, Katie. And she walked across the room, and she said, this is really awkward and not really normal either. But I feel like I need to invite you to my church. It's a church for actors and dancers and creatives. There's not many of us, but do you want to come along? And I was like, yeah, I really, really want to come along. But there was a whole God story behind that. 7 years of people praying for me. The day I gave my life to Jesus and the day I got baptized and posted it on Facebook and all that, I got hundreds of messages of people that have said, I've been praying for you for 10 years, for 12 years, for 7 years, for 5 years, for 3 years. I've been praying for you, I've been praying for you, I've been praying for you. You are not going to be the only Christian to talk to someone, and if you are, you're the first, but you're not the last. You are a part of the adventure. It's not your burden. You can't save anyone. God's the only one that can save. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. I said no to so many people. People will say no to you. But you never know what God's going to do. You never know what God is going to do. Can I invite you to stand? I feel like from the worship and then into what I felt God tell me to talk about today, that it would be great for you guys to find someone in your church family now that you feel comfortable praying with, and to pray for them to have opportunities this week to share their faith, but then also that they would choose to be bold, to not be held back by fear, but to go for it and to tell their friend or the colleague or the stranger that they meet about Jesus and invite them to church. I feel like that's the next step. So if you'd like to find someone and pray with them, pray for opportunities and for boldness.